Translation. Shukadeva Goswami said, under the protection of Magadha Raja, Jarasandha, the powerful Kamsa, began prosecuting the kings of the Yadu dynasty. In this, he had the cooperation of the demons like Pralamba, Baka, Chanura, Trinavarta, Aghasura, Mushtika, Arishta, Dvivida, Putana, Keshi, Denuka, Panasura, Narakasura, and many other demoniac kings on the surface of the earth. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This verse supports the following statement given by the Lord in the Bhagavad Gita. Yadayadaya dharmasya glani bhavati bharata abhyutatma adharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham paritranayam sadhunam vinashaya chadushkritam dharma samsthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice or descendant of Bharata and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself to deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants as well as to re-establish the principles of religion. I advent myself millennium after millennium. The Lord's purpose in maintaining this material world is to give everyone a chance to go back home, back to Godhead. But kings and political leaders unfortunately try to hinder the purpose of the Lord. And therefore the Lord appears either personally or with his plenary portions to set the things right. It is therefore said, Garbam sancharaya rohinam devakya yugamayaya tashya kukshim gata krishna dvitiyo vibudhai shtutaha. Krishna appeared in the womb of Devaki after transferring Baladev to the womb of Rohini by the power of yogamaya. Yadubhi sa vyarudhyata. The kings of the Yadu dynasty were all devotees, but there were many powerful demons such as Shalva who began to persecute them. At that time, Jarasandha, who was Kamsa's father-in-law, was extremely powerful, and therefore Kamsa took advantage of his protection and the help of the demons in persecuting the kings of the Yadu dynasty. The demons naturally appeared more powerful than the demigods, but ultimately, because of a help received from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the demons were defeated and the demigods triumphant. Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namne Namaste Saraswati Devam Guravani Pracharne Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashkati Desatarna. So here we have a nice account, a summary study of all the demons who actually were collected and inspired by Kamsa. As it is stated, and this is a very powerful statement, the birds of the same feather flock together. This you find confirmed. You know, I can quote one of the most enthusiastic preachers in ISKCON who managed as a temple president in Vrindavan for a long time, barely survived. But he was shot actually at the end. But he told me, shot. Yeah. Yeah. Kadambakana Maharaj, who actually told me, if I ever learned from my predecessors as managers, then it's two things. Birds of the same feather flock always together. And the water finds always its level. So, in other words, you have to take into consideration that there will be attraction of similarities always. It's not a chance that we feel attracted to something and something. It's even amongst devotees you find something which we can call chemical differences. You know, it's a natural given, as one of my godbrother said, it's easy to associate with somebody who is chemically naturally fitting, but it's a challenge to actually associate and cooperate with somebody who is not. Yeah, we are an international movement, and that brings international problems. You know, yeah. So because people express themselves differently, it takes a little maturity and time to understand that sometimes a person expresses himself or herself simply in a particular way. So that's not so important. Important is the motivation. That's the important part. The desire which motivates somebody to do something. That's actually where the real offense occurs. When somebody has a desire to get some advantage, to be opportunistic in a certain way, or he feels the need to prevail over others. Yeah, this is not an international society for public appearance consciousness. This is we are all meant to fulfill a certain purpose. Yeah, and that's important part. The appearance, yeah, that can be. I can give you a tour around Europe, alone in the countries I resided, from Scandinavia over Italy up to Spain. Very different. It's very different, you know. Yeah. If you sit here, you provoke my memories on Italian time. I was 1.5 years there almost. It's very different. When you go to Scandinavia, it's all horrible. When you go to Italy, you get flooded just at the entrance door, you know. Horrible! And it's just, it's like one big, you know, opera. You know, it's just... They told me, devotees in Italy, you don't have to learn Italian, you have just to learn how to use the arms. You know, so that's natural. That's why it's such a fun to go to Mayapur and watch devotees arriving at the Mayapur gate. You can see immediately. Nobody ever in the history of mankind brought so many people together like Srila Prabhupada, of such a different natures. You know, you can see, you can just sit in Mayapur and watch how they are coming. You know, the Italians, you know, they go, you know, Gauranga! And then they realize, this is going to be a wonderful festival. Why? They have a pizzeria here too. Pasta! Ah! Comes the Germans, you know, just... Airplane was too late. You know, how do they manage here? You know, this has to be fixed. Who has a permission here? Who is in charge? You know. Comes the Nordic races. They don't say anything. Horrible. You know. Anyway, I don't want to, because when I get into this, somebody always gets insulted. But we simply carry these bodies around. We cannot deny them. They are here. So here you can see how completely naturally, you know, Kamsa collected his crew, and how completely naturally they start to attack the pious ones. This will always be there as long as this material world exists. So we are supposed to unite people, yes. And we are, despite all our difficulties and differences, amazingly united, actually. I say amazingly because it shouldn't be like that. You know, we are impossible to unite, you know, yeah. But Srila Prabhupada, as long as we keep him in the center, then we have a chance to unite. And what does it mean, actually? It is not a sentimental thing. As I mentioned before, we are supposed to fulfill some purpose. We all have a purpose. And Prabhupada had a purpose for everybody. This was the most amazing thing. In this temple room, when there was a roaring kirtan going in front of Prabhupada, I mentioned it yesterday in a meeting, Srila Prabhupada was, of course, in very critical condition. They carried him down the stairs and he was sitting here. We arrived here from Germany and I was not the Sankirtan. Actually, I was a leader, Sankirtan, of one group of devotees. German Sankirtan was kind of divided at that time between the Nishinga League and the Govinda League. The Nishinga League, that was the heavy guys. And Govinda League, that was the Bhaktas and the softies. They call us the puddings. You know, yeah, who were always reading, chanting. The Nishinga League was distributing. Chanting, I don't know, I never saw them chanting, but, reading, wow, you have to be sick and die. You read the book. What are you doing here? I'm sitting and reading. Oh, you have to run, distribute. That's actually where the comment came from, where Prabhupada wrote, I wrote these books for you, you know. You have to also read them. It's not just for distribution. So when this kirtan was going on here, the atmosphere was extremely tense because everybody kind of didn't want to admit that, but he guessed that probably it's the last time he will see Srila Prabhupada. So Srila Prabhupada was sitting there and he didn't like that. The Guru Puja started in a very grave tone and he didn't like that. So it didn't take a few seconds. His swollen arms came up and he was going. As he was going like this, the devotees were already up there on the ceiling. And it grew into a ferocious kirtan. So ferocious. I remember this temple room. There was one very old Mataji in a corner here, there in the back. She brought Prabhupada flowers, you know, big bucket of lilies, white lilies. And she wanted to offer them to Prabhupada and the Guru Puja, but there was no way for her to get through that roaring crowd, you know, of these dancing devotees. And actually, I was standing somewhere here in this place, and I saw suddenly in a corner this old lady, you know, she jumped like 1.5 meter high. She was way up there with these lilies, you know. Hari Bol! And realizing she cannot offer the lilies to Srila Prabhupada, she took the whole thing and she threw the flowers all over the temple room, just direction Prabhupada. And everybody picked up the lilies in the air and kept on throwing them further. There was a reporter or some kind of newspaper guy, I don't know, with a camera here standing, you know. He forgot to take photos. He was just standing there crying, you know. It was just, it was incredible. Then Prabhupada gave a, here sitting, he gave a, Tamakrishna Maharaj was standing next to him, and he gave a kind of reflection upon his early days, you know, how he started this movement. Tamakrishna Maharaj actually spoke, Prabhupada didn't speak much. It's just on one point he interfered when Tamakrishna Maharaj said how difficult it was actually in the early days in America, and Prabhupada suddenly then Tamakrishna Maharaj stopped and saw Prabhupada said, sometimes we preached even in a garage. That is actually was a situation where devotees end up preaching from a garage in America. They got kicked out from a place. So anyway, this place for me, it's, I don't want to be too, just deviate from the subject here that much, but it's difficult because this place is so, Prabhupada is for me everywhere. It's just, you know, so. Anyway, so this is what happens when a pure devotee comes. The pious ones automatically flock together. This is, you could call it subconscious. This comes from the heart. You know, Prabhupada inspired so many and brought so many together from various nations, various ages. Prabhupada could relate to the old ones, young ones. We know, let's admit that, we have a little generation problem, you know, in ISKCON too, because there is the young ones, you know, hi, wow! And there is the old ones, they saw it all and heard it all, and their little scarves on their face, you know. They have their, they got their package of punches, you know. They go, okay, I'm ISKCON, you know. So, but actually there's a place for everybody. And we should try, that's called culture. Culture means everybody's part of it. Culture means in a Vedic culture there was like Yadus, there was the young ones and there was the old ones. Actually, they were all Kshatriyas. And the young ones, they always want to go somewhere, Kshatriya, you know, and conquer somebody and make a little war, you know. And the old ones, they were all going, yes, yes, we also, we had many wars already, thank you very much. But war is not a bad idea. It's just we have to be careful where we are, in which direction we are fighting, and with whom we are fighting. Let's first think about it, okay? Because the young ones don't think, they just run. And the old ones, they think sometimes too much. They just think. You know, they think so much, and they have so many meetings, I don't want to get too particular, that actually nothing happens. They have to think, no, but actually we have to look at it from another point of view. Nothing happens. So Vedic culture is wonderful. It's a synthesis of all this. The young ones, we need some fire on this. And the old ones, some brain is needed. Yeah, certainly. Prabhupada said, enthusiasm is very good, but little brain is needed. You know, because in the early days of this movement, there was so much enthusiasm. Sometimes at the cost of the brain. You know, just, hey, hooray, oh yeah. And, I mean, we thought we will take over the world in 3 weeks. Really. When you were close to Prabhupada, it didn't appear really so absurd. It was like, yeah, of course we are taking over the world. And Prabhupada said in one morning walk, he said, if you would really listen to what I'm saying and follow it, you would take the whole thing in 14 days. We were like planning. Prabhupada had plans how to, we will have our own currency. No euro, no dollar. Chaitanya. One Chaitanya, two Chaitanya, three Chaitanya. That's what Prabhupada, he was serious. He said, we will have our own government. We will have our own, you know, society. And in his presence, it was like, yeah, why not? Sure. After all, it's a good idea, isn't it? And all of these things happened to such a degree that it appeared like a logical sequence that we just take over the world. Because it already started. There were people coming out of nowhere. There were projects coming up. It was growing so fast that devotees couldn't cope with it. You had so many people joining and so many projects, and the managers were like, you were like, you know, at the peak of an atomic explosion. You were just trying to keep a balance. It was going so fast. Prabhupada himself even, he said, look, it's going faster as I thought. It's big. Yeah? So this is what happens when the, you know, when Krishna's mercy spreads and when it finds a fertile field. You know? Krishna's mercy is always there. But it needs two sides. There has to be also a fertile field. So actually our strife is not how to do things. Our strife is how to enable Krishna to become prominent. As we used to say on Sankirtan always, let's give Krishna a chance. You know, let's not stand in his way with our, Prabhupada call it, fertile brains. You know, so many, very fertile. So fertile, like fertile earth is very good, but also it accommodates a growth of an immense amount of weeds and all kinds of things. So gardening is needed. There has to be a constant gardening. And the more we are advancing Krishna consciousness, the more you are aware, because you know more, this looks like a nice plant, but actually it's a weed. So you are more discriminative, unavoidably, because you simply are more alert. I remember only once in my life, I tried to plant Tulasi. I was still a very young brahmachari. I became a temple president. I got Tulasi seeds. And I got a nice earth from the garden and planted Tulasi. And it grew really fast. The next day already, boop. And the next day, boop. And then the first leaves were coming. I was going, wow, only one plant, but very nice. I was going, wow. And I look at the leaves and I was going, doesn't look like Tulasi really, because Tulasi leaves are round. This has, you know, this goes like this. Wow. You know, it was the best wheat in a garden I picked up along with the earth. You know, these things which burn. Anyway, so that was my only last and first attempt to plant Tulasi. After that, I left it to those who are far more expert. So discrimination has to be there. What is the wheat and what is the real thing? And the wheats, they're always stronger. You know that. Every gardener can tell you, first comes the wheats. When you have some nice plant, something this, it needs lots of protection, lots of gardening. So what Prabhupada gave us, the seeds, we have to be careful and guard them. It's not so complicated as long as we keep our ears open. Shravanam, Ketanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. When we listen what Prabhupada said, there's so much. Prabhupada is the most documented acharya in the history of Vaishnavism. You cannot listen in audio tapes from audio recordings from Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj. But from Prabhupada, we have so much. He commented on many things. And there are still few surviving witnesses also who can say, but it's not only what Prabhupada said, but how did he meant it? In a managerial field, Prabhupada was sometimes very flexible. Not in a philosophical field. Philosophy was uncompromising. But in management, Prabhupada was very practical. Sometimes he said, okay, very nice, let's have a farm. Then he realized, this farm is in the middle of the snow, and it never stops snowing. So he said, not very good to have a farm here. You know, he sent devotees out for preaching. Some devotees end up in areas where there was constant shooting going on, you know, being prosecuted, risking their lives every day. Prabhupada said, this is too dangerous. This is not a place, really. Just come back. So Prabhupada was very practical in a managerial sense, but in a philosophical sense, no compromise. That was fixed. That's in the books. That's Krishna speaking. That's Prabhupada's commenting. There is no change on that. So the mentalities are always attracting each other. We have to live with that, even as devotees. I hope there's not too many Russians. Actually, I always praise Russians because they are everywhere. Bhakti Vigyan Maharaj always tells me, I don't have to speak English. Wherever I go and travel, there is Russians. You know, I was just in Vienna, a new ISKCON temple being opened after a long time. Yeah? Who opened it? One Russian Mataji. What is she doing in Vienna? I don't know. They are everywhere. You know, yeah? So, But what do the Russians do? They talk to Russians. Спасибо. You think, that's another society here. That's the National Society for Russian Consciousness. No. They are wonderful devotees, but they express themselves this way. And why not? This is the beauty of this movement. Why should we be somebody else as we are? I can quote Sridhar Maharaj, he was called the happy Swami. Yeah, why? Even he was dying, he was happy. Amazing. Amazing. Why? Because he lived by the motto, be yourself. That doesn't mean be yourself, hedonist. That's obviously not. Because that's not ourselves. We are not this body, okay? But we have this body, so let's use it according to its qualities, along its qualities for Krishna. It's called purifying. Purifying doesn't mean that you change. Purifying means that you used that thing for Krishna. And everybody has something to give. And then everybody has qualities, you know, which very we are careful about. That you find everywhere. I don't want again go in detail, give in national psychoanalytical studies. But basically, when I do that, usually devotees get kind of smile, some get a little bit silent, you know. But it's easy to see. You will express yourself like this. You cannot avoid it. That's unavoidable. So why to change that? Prabhupada even said that. He said, Germans, yeah, they should manage the whole world for Krishna. Yeah. Manage. He gave even linguistic analysis about languages. So German, it's a good language to speak to dogs. Sit! Get it! Commands and descriptions. German is perfect. German is a language which you can puzzle the words together until you define perfectly the purpose of that thing, what it is, where it comes from, and what it is to be used for. It's one word. You know, you certainly don't speak like this in Italy. I don't know Italian, but just from the sound of the language, it's just so colorful. Prabhupada said French. Well, that's a good language to speak to women. You know, just by hearing French, you feel like, you know, yeah, no problem. It's like singing. Very, you know, very essential. And English? I don't even quote that. He said it's good for speaking to horses. I don't know what he meant by that. I don't know. I really cannot comment. I cannot comment what he meant by that. I have no idea. But again, within the language, even then, you find differences. There's a nasty language. There's a very eloquent part. There's a philosophical language. And what is this language doing? It reflects the consciousness of particular people. Certainly. We are all living by sound vibration. Yeah? From material vibration up to transcendental sound vibration. And that's transcendental Prabhupada. I remember when I came to this movement, I could practically understand zero English. But I was listening to Prabhupada, to this Victorian, you know, heavy dialect English. And I listened over and over. I was fascinated by the voice. I couldn't understand what he's talking. I remember when I came first time to the temple, they gave me a tape. Those days it was tape, you know. And on the tape was Prabhupada, the prayers, samsara dava, nalalida loka, you know. And he spoke his purport to that. I couldn't understand one thing, neither the song, neither what he is speaking, nothing. You know, but I was fascinated. I played the tape back and forth for 3 months until it broke. And then I joined. You know, in the early days when the communism collapsed, devotees were already there. So there was such a greed to take Krishna consciousness just for the fact it was not communistic. Okay? Something new. People were so open. So all these countries that were just flooded with Krishna consciousness, the people were like, oh, wow, these books, you know. Just for the sake of the pictures, they were buying these books. So, you know, so, yeah. And some devotees didn't took long, because many devotees are musicians. So they just, you know, put up Prabhupada songs on a hit parade. Prabhupada made it in a hit parade. You know, there was this song, that song, then came Prabhupada song. And he made it pretty high. And there was one reporter writing for a music newspaper. He wrote a quite funny analysis. He said, this is obviously an old man singing, you know. He is not so much concerned with the melody, really. When you hear it, you will find out. You will not understand one word what he is singing. But when you keep on hearing, your life will change so much you will never be the same. The man got some realization there. So we are all surviving on the transcendental sound vibration of Srila Prabhupada, either in a written form in these books, that's also Srila Prabhupada sounding, or directly by listening from him. And that can change people's lives. Imperceivably. Why? Because we don't see how the soul gets liberated. You cannot see with mundane eye. You just see the symptoms. The first symptom is happiness. You know, taste, ruchi, taste. Actually, I don't know why, but it tastes good. It is tasting good. Sometimes people talk nonsense, you know. They analyze the Maha Mantra. It's one of the offenses, but they don't know. So they just go, it's very good for purifying the chakras. And they just talk something. But you can see it's already affecting them. It's already working on them. And already working. Until you realize, well, better I don't talk so much and analyze so much. I just chant. They ask Prabhupada, what is the result of chanting? Prabhupada said, more chanting. And Prabhupada had to answer these questions in the early days where half of the audience was on LSD. Can you imagine the questions? Swamiji, when I chant Hare Krishna, there's always light over my head. What is it? Prabhupada said, just keep on chanting, it will be switched off. You know, it's just, you know, that was the audience Prabhupada was addressing. That's how this movement started. It was hilarious. They called it the hippie movement because they just, you know. And Prabhupada said very openly, honestly, he said, no, we don't like hippies. We like hippies. Because the hippies were not so happy. They pretended to be happy. They wanted to be happy. But actually, when you looked at the crowd, you know, I remember one Czech filmmaker, he wanted to make a movie about hippies. He came to America and he was shocked. He was thinking, ah, hippie, you know, flower power. He said, it was the most miserable crew of people I ever met in my life. They were sleeping the whole day. At night they came out, they took some drugs, and they began to sleep again. He said, this was terrible. You know, yeah. So this was actually what Prabhupada was addressing. That's how this movement started. Prabhupada would teach them, dance like this, smile. Because they were all, I have to think about it. I have to think about the deeper effects of the Maha Mantra, yeah. Well, as long as you think in this empiric, introverted way, you will never get the bliss of Krishna consciousness. The mind is too slow, and the intelligence too limited. And we are all, you know, limited. So how we break out of that limitation? By simply following. Those who go out and distribute books, they get the point very fast. How do you distribute books? You just do it. Do it. Yeah, but how do I do it? Yeah, that we can, there is some certain technicalities you have to be aware of. I don't want to now turn the whole thing into a book distribution seminar, but you will find out very quickly when you talk too much, they will not take a book. You know, when you think you are the big preacher, they will not take the book. When you think you are better as them 1,000 times, they will not take the book. You know, so you will find out very quickly, it will force upon you a certain type of consciousness. You have to be purified, you have to be reformed, you have to reform yourself. And that's the whole process of Krishna consciousness. Constantly we are exposed to situations which force us to be reformed, change. If you refuse to change, if you think one day, no, I already changed enough. Now I am here, come, mercy, here, lotus feet, come. Come. Then the block comes in. Boom. And you become a mummified Vaishnava. Just resounding, you know, resounding, just listening to the echo of your own voice. And people will notice. They will notice, yeah, but nice, but he's talking to himself. So this is a preaching movement. Preaching movement means we are always aiming with our actions and speech to help others. And that's risky. Kali Yuga, very risky. You enter other people's lives, get them out of their private domain, you know. This is a risky thing. After all, Jesus was crucified for that, you know. That's already where it started. He dared to say, come public and say, no, you do like this, you don't do like that. And he took a strong stand. So this is what is described here, what Krishna appears also for. To take a stand and say, no, this is not going to be like this, it's going to be like this. And of course you will find opposition. People don't like, even in the name of religion, people like to always adjust what the message, the original message, is always adjusted to their material needs. You know, I am not expert, I will not quote much, but the original message, like in a Christian line, is very radical. You know, it's radical. Jesus says, when your eye makes trouble in your spiritual life, just pluck it out. Pretty heavy. Even we don't say that. You know, this world is like a bridge. One doesn't build houses on bridges. <You know? laughs> No. They make him to a boss of a Red Cross company. You know, he's the chief of the hospital. Put the eyes back and build lots of houses. Hallelujah. You know, so this is reverse. It's a natural tendency of a conditioned soul to always bring their material needs and this into spiritual environment, refresh themselves spiritually, and unfold their material agenda. That's always like that. So therefore, Brahmana, preaching has to be there. Brahmana, the lover of truth. He will not compromise by any means the truth. And truth means that's how it is, and that's how it's not. Only on that basis we can unite. Unfortunately, yeah, I lost quite a few God brothers who learned more and more to understand and compromise. Yeah, we have to be more... they will not like us when we talk like this. Yeah, some people will not like us. But Srila Prabhupada, when you listen carefully, was very strong in his preaching. And so many joined. Why? Because it was pure. The purity was there. And Srila Prabhupada, very nice, already in one of the first recorded lectures, listen what he is saying. He goes, ladies and gentlemen, because he already started to say things which were actually not so popular those days. And he noticed people were like, do we have to talk about this? You know? And Prabhupada said something wonderful. He said, ladies and gentlemen, I am not criticizing, I am analyzing. You know, this is the approach. When you are in an aggressive mood, criticizing, with a tendency to become arrogant. Arrogant means that you preach inappropriately to your means. Yeah? You impose upon people some identity of yours, which is actually, you know, as much they admire, they know if you are cheating or not. And cheating means you are trying to be somebody you are not. You know? And we got such a powerful, you know, knowledge. You know, Shastra means, there is Shastra and Shastra. Shastra means weapon. So it's a weapon we got there. So somebody gave you a huge machine gun. Well, better you have some license to use it. Otherwise you go, hey, this is good. You know, and there's, hey, they're all dead. You know, oh, what happened? So that's actually what Prabhupada gave us. We were like children and we are like children. He gave us something very powerful. So we have to be careful how to handle it. It's a great responsibility coming along with knowledge. But it's not so complicated. We just have to actually understand where we stand. As one of my struggling God brothers said, we know where we came from. Yeah? From hell, generally. That's where we came from. And we know where we have to go to. Let's go back home, back to Godhead. But we have to understand where we are now. And that's not easy. For this one needs a spiritual assistance. That means first association with devotees. Because they will reflect. Because it's always easy to see the weaknesses of the other, but oneself, I don't even know how my voice sounds. Somebody sometimes plays a recording of my lecture asking, who's this? How can they listen to such a thing? Yeah? I don't even know how it sounds. It's like some devotee made me aware. I said, you know how many times you say, you know, you know, you know, you know? I said, do I say that? And I played the tape back. I was going, oh no, this is like, you know, you know, you know. But I'm saying this. So this, we don't know. We don't even know how we look like. We don't know how we sound like. We don't know how we appear even. We think something we are. Yes, that's me. Everybody wakes up in the morning and puts up an identity together, you know? Right away in a shower already, we just go think, yeah, that's going to be me today. When you are a child, you think, I'm going to be a cosmonaut. That's me. When you are a devotee, you think, I'm going to be the 8th Goswami. That's me. It's the same game, you know? We imagine identities and try to fit in it. That creates a deal of trouble because, first of all, when you invent something, you concoct, it's a hard work to speculate. Then you have to defend it in front of others who will not believe you. That's also hard work, you know. And in this way, all your taste for Krishna consciousness will be really hampered, to say at least, if not lost. So why to play these games? Why not just be oneself? And that's not easy, because they always taught us something. The parents taught us, you have to be like that. In a school, they told us, you have to be like this. You know. And everybody, the friends told us, no, I think you are like that. Are we? So who are we really? We know. We are spiritual soul. Great. Fantastic. But what about this body? How we are going to use it? Now it's sitting here. we cannot get out. So how are we going to use it? And that takes training and association with devotees. And experiment sometimes. We try to do this, then we realize, that's not my quality. Even Prabhupada said, in times of need, pure devotee can do anything. He showed the example. Prabhupada was doing anything. Anything that was needed. From managing up to preaching, everything. Cooking, cleaning. In the beginning, he had to really vocabulary do everything. So there is no conditions for a devotee when he is preaching. Still, there is a certain quality which will prevail. And along that, everybody brings some kind of quality. When you put it together, it's a wonderful puzzle. We are part of a puzzle, you know. We can do little thing here, you know, with our qualities, with our inspiration, with our... And another one can do a little bit here. When we put it like together, you know, it can be a beautiful picture. In the beginning, it looks like a bunch of pieces lying around. One puzzle piece, you know, not very impressive. But when you like puzzle it together, but it takes a little honesty and introspectiveness. You know, we should take the mission seriously, not our appearance so seriously. Of course, for the sake of preaching sometimes. I notice like in places like in India, when you are too humble, people get confused. You know, you cannot go on the street and bow down to every dog. And even as a devotee, you would like actually to do that. Because, you know, devotees are kind of humble people usually, but when you preach, you have to be... Prabhupada was like that when he came to India. And he really, you know, he said, if I would preach like this in the West, you know, they will call police. They will you know, attack me. But in India, because Indians are pious and they actually want authority of some sort, so Prabhupada appeared very, you know, very majestic. And he preached in a very authoritative way. You know, yeah. And people going, wow. I noticed once in Mayapur walking around, the incoming guests judge devotees according to the size of the bodies or something like that. Big. He's big. He's big. Very bodily perception. Sometimes you come in a parts of the world where people are here like that. I like the West actually on that point because here nobody believes anything. Everybody's like, okay. You have to prove yourself and you have to work really hard to just get this much faith coming up. You have to really work hard. Because they always look, okay, but that's your opinion. You know, no, it's not my opinion. Look, it's here in the Shastra. Before you convince them that, oh, it's a hard work here. So for a devotee, it's good. Because you cannot here be cheap. It doesn't work. So birds of the same feather flock together, and we can see here demonstrated immediately when comes Astarius activities, the demons on one side, the demigods on the other. And it looks temporarily even that the demons are in majority, they are in charge. Today in a society we can say boldly it is so. And devotees are like the minority and this. Krishna can change that. But only then when we are qualified. Otherwise we will embarrass him. Krishna doesn't want to be embarrassed. So a preacher, he should sing always, no, I should not embarrass my spiritual master. I should not embarrass Krishna. For that sake, we can preach very strongly. And we can speak very authoritatively. But for one's own sake, we are all a little part of a puzzle. I'm a little bit cautious about the clocks. I don't overdo it. I know that I get trouble with the managers. I don't know how much time do I have. Huh? Yeah? Comments. Because, you see, when I come to a place like this, one gets a little bit embarrassed. Because there are those here who are shastrically far more, you know, fit. And certainly devotees of a great learning. So I'm a simple Sankirtan guy, you know. I'm coming from the street. I learn what I have to learn. I do what I have to do. You know, the best time I had for study the books when I was sick. That's the only time they left me. As soon as I could a little bit walk, they were going, you can walk? Go out immediately. It was a German training.